You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Announced costly transport policy this election with funding for all areas including rail, roads and cycleways. I spoke with Transport Minister Simon Bridges about National's transport policy. I first asked him about their road policy and whether it would be better for them to direct the $10.5 billion set aside for roading projects into other areas.
We're doing a lot of everything. I mean, you mentioned rail. When you think about that, we've invested over $5 billion in rail over the last few years. We've electrified the lines around Auckland, $1.7 billion. And of course, actually, when I talk about $5 billion, if you include the CRL and what's going on there, the bill goes to, I think, past $7 billion. So there's a lot of investment going on a lot of things. But to come back to your question about roads, I think the reason for that is, and if you think about what we're doing out of Auckland and regionally, it's simply because it is still what over 90% of New Zealanders use. It is what most of the freight goes by, and cost effectively, in terms of the money that's spent, we think it's a good option. None of that means that there won't also be really significant investment in rail over the next few years. There definitely will be, and we understand that.
Just coming to rail, so in Auckland, you're spending over $200 million invested in commuter rail, and Labor's proposed a 10 cent regional tax to pay for their rail improvements. How are you paying for yours?
Well, we're really confident that we can pay for our things on the basis of how we've done over the last 10 years. If you think about the last 9 years, we've had a national land transport program that's been funded from the fuel taxes as they are. And the fuel taxes went up a bit there. So at the start, look, ballpark, we're getting maybe a couple of billion dollars in a year, 2007, 2008. Now it's more like closer to $4 billion. Over that time period, we've funded much more than actually that sort of $10.5 billion roading program that you talked about. So I don't think we have any difficulty. In fact, I think we can have a confidence that we can do the same sort of program again on the funding model we've used previously. I think what's also true, though, is we've got government books because the economy's been strong and is getting stronger, that mean that, look, over the next 4 years, we've got $34 billion of capital expenditure that we can make, and there's some headroom there. That means we've got a confidence that we can do a bit more even besides what we already were doing on growing transport budgets.
With your investment in rail, is this at the cost of improving bus networks in Auckland?
No, in fact, I think quite the opposite. I think that's very much what Labor and the Greens are doing. They've picked a couple of shiny projects, light rail project, one cycleway project. Literally, I think from their so-called plan, all that they're doing. If you look at us, what we're saying is over the next few years, actually, we have to include buses in that. So we've got a really strong record in this area, and we'll do more. So we will be doing Amity. That's a very significant multimodal, but particularly busing project out the east of Auckland. There's nothing in Labor's plan for that part of Auckland. Northwestern Busway, we've said, we need to come to the party on that, and would Auckland fund that busway? Again, there's no talk of that in Labor's proposals. So I think when it comes to buses, we very much understand the importance of them. We think they've got a real value. And again, I just make the simple point, given the questions you're asking, they need, highly specified fit-for-purpose roading networks. And I think where the change is and what's happening more, we did it with Northern Busway, and you can see more of this in Auckland, is there'll be new set-aside lanes, if you like, for this kind of bus rapid transit. So rather than just seeing them in there with all of the cars, I think that'll be a real turbocharging for public transport in Auckland, because it'll make it much more convenient for commuters over and above going just in private vehicles.
You just mentioned light rail before. Why are you so resistant to light rail?
I don't think we're resistant, but I think it all comes back to what we've been talking about, which is priorities. And when you look at that one project from Auckland CBD to the airport, you've already got a Waterview tunnel there which can take public transport, which has halved the times, made the times much more reliable on fundamentally that exact route. That's not to say that the mass transit proposal that the other parties are talking about doesn't over time have value. But I think actually if you look at Auckland-wide and its issues, you'd have to say projects like Amity, like the Northwestern Busway, like Mill Road further south, have a higher priority than that. One of the big things we've done is ATAP. That's been getting government in Wellington and Auckland on the same page about what the projects are. We've got $26 billion worth of projects we've got to get on with over the next decade. Well, the mass transit proposal is in there from the from Auckland through to Roskill. So the first half of it broadly. Then after that, it really is demand allows. We're accepting, I suppose, what I'm saying to you is, yep, we've got to do something over that about it over time. There's no question. But is it the number one complete everything proposal and priority? I totally disagree with that. I think there's other proposals and other projects around Auckland, very much in public transport, actually, that are every bit as much priority, actually probably more important priorities for Auckland and dealing with congestion, which people worry about.
Because there is some criticism of your policy saying it's not really looking to the future enough with projects like the Waterview Tunnel and the building of roads. That will ease congestion for sort of 10 years or something, but in the future you need something like a light rail network. Mm.
And I think that may well be true, but I don't, in terms of needing that light rail over time. I certainly don't accept this view that we're not future-focused. I think we're the most future-focused party when it comes to transport. I mean, I'm a minister and we're a government that has done a huge amount of electric vehicles because we see them as part of our sustainable future. I'm a minister that's passed, and the Parliament has passed, you know, my bill in relation to special passenger services, by which we really mean Uber, ride-sharing, carpooling. We've enabled that very fully and more than ever before. We're the party that, for example, has done more than any party in history. And you could say, well, no one else has really done anything in this year. I'm talking about cycling, urban cycling. But actually, on any country's terms, we've done a huge amount in that area and we'll continue it. So I think we're very much trying to deal with everyday problems that Aucklanders have today, but I think also we have a very much an eye for the future. Actually, I mean, another point there, just final point on this, is we're also that the party and the government that with Auckland is looking through and doing the work now on the chunky issues of pricing the network and variable GPS-enabled pricing in Auckland. So I think we are looking at the future.
Coming back to electric cars, your policy is a bit vague there. You're saying you'll lead by example by having one-third of the government fleet electric, but what are you actually doing about infrastructure for electric cars?
We're doing a heap. I mean, we've taken the road user charges off cars, electric cars, several hundred dollars a year. If you're talking heavy vehicles, several thousand dollars. There's a range of other incentives. You know, I won't bore you with them, but you know, there's many, many things we're doing in terms of infrastructure. The issue there is that when I put, you know, our a program together to turbocharge, if you like, electric vehicles in New Zealand, I was very open to the idea of investing a lot in the infrastructure. Now, we've done some through our through a fund that we have. But actually, the message I got back very strongly from all manner of businesses, big and small, was this can grow organically by business and we will do a better job. And I think they're proving that's right. You've got many companies putting this up and down the length of New Zealand at the moment, so that the infrastructural network's growing very strongly. And I just make this final point. The people say, oh, well, not a lot is happening in this area. We are selling more electric vehicles new and used into New Zealand by many fold, actually, over Australia, a much bigger country at the moment. When I started my program about a year ago, there were only three kinds of electric vehicles you could buy in New Zealand and only several hundred that have been purchased. Now we're at nearly 5,000. There's well over 20 brands that you can buy. So I think this is something that's really working. The growth, albeit, you know, from very small start, exponential. And I think it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and we can be a real leader in this area.
And just finally, on the environment, cars and their emissions are a big contributor to global warming. What are you doing to reduce the number of cars on roads? Because
it feels like you're just building roads to accommodate more cars, and you're not really trying to reduce the number of cars on roads when this might be a better option.
I mean, obviously, it's hugely complex. I think you've got to do several things. You've got to continue to invest in public transport, and I think that's, you know, what you're really asking. And, you know, I've run through some of the public transport projects we've done and we're doing, like CRL, like Northwest Busways. Things are a lot more happening in that area than historically has been the case. There's the Urban Cycleway Program. There's the Electric Vehicle Program. Because I think, actually, you know, if every car in New Zealand was electric, you would cut your emissions by 80% in that road transport, which I agree with you is a real source of emissions. So you've got to do all of these things. But I think ultimately to say that, you know, there will be no cars and we won't do anything, I know that's not what you're saying, that undervalues the very strong value, I think, that New Zealanders do place in their personal mobility and their desire to travel by themselves.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.